Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. A couple of times a month, we like to connect up with our friends on the North Shore. In fact, St. Tammany Parish, the fastest growing parish in the state of Louisiana. Joining us is Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Newell.
Hope you've been doing well. Long time no see. Things are growing fast over there on the North Shore. There's got to be some growing pains, huh?
There are definitely growing pains. So I'm going to give you some numbers. We are all ready for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. So before that disaster, our population in this parish was 210,000. It was 460,000 in Orleans Parish. Today, it's 360,000 in Orleans and 275 in St. Tammany. So you can see the shift. It's even more notable when you realize that St. Tammany, as you just said, is the fastest growing parish in the state as of the latest figures. So this growth has created somewhat of a culture shift. It's mostly been good for our parish and our cities within the parish, but the underlying infrastructure, basic governmental services must keep up with that growth. So funding and maintaining some of our governmental services is the challenge. It's always about money, right?
If there's one area of infrastructure that you think is of the utmost, highest concern, what would that be?
Well, criminal justice. You know, the word that I think the public understands is safety. We don't want that to change. We feel very safe over here. So I think it's the criminal justice system, crime, police, and the courts. We all know that's the backbone of a safe community. We need good policing, reliable judges, and well-maintained jail space. So, you know, I'm a native New Orleanian, and I'm a frequent visitor to the city. I was happy to celebrate yesterday with the NOLA Coalition. I know WWL has been covering that. I was so happy to be there. It's just amazing, the reductions to the crime rates in the city. And that's because of community partnerships and funding. Everyone wants to say, police, police, we need more police. But yesterday it was evident it's partnerships. And homicides being down 70%, and the case solve rate is up to 80%. I'm just happy to mention that in talking about St. Tammany, because, you know, people talk and people say, oh, no, that's impossible. No, it's possible. It's real. So we're very excited about that all over the New Orleans region. But on the North Shore,
Go ahead, Lacey.
Okay. Well, we tend to take low crime for granted. And unfortunately, since about 2019, we have had successive defeats of every tax renewal dedicated to funding our criminal justice system. So our little idyllic picture of a safe parish north of the lake is in jeopardy. So the latest rededication that we talked about last time we interviewed, it only failed by 600 votes. So the returns show the sales tax rededication did receive 48%. There were, let's see, the numbers, you know, I'm not a numbers person, but it was 16,241 yes votes. That's pretty good. But it beat out by 17,500 no votes. We just believe that if every voter across our parish understood that that was a rededication, simply adjusting where that particular sales tax income can go. It was not a new tax, not an increase. It was applying the funds already being collected where they can do the most good, and that is funding safety, our criminal justice system.
Do you believe that y'all will go back out to the public?
Well, I don't believe anything I hear unless I hear it straight from the source. I think our parish administration and council are struggling with that. But from our standpoint, the business leaders I've discussed it with, we hope not. We hope there's no tax on the next ballot.
Right. You know, it's interesting, and I think you guys know this. We've talked about it before. The last place you want to get is behind the eight ball, right? And then you're playing catch up. And playing catch up as opposed to being out in front of the situation, you know, we may be in a decline now. We've gone through the ebb and flow of crime stats. Things change socially. They change economically. A lot of different times that there's still people argue and debate over what contributed to an increase in crime or a decrease in crime. It's not a perfect science. And I always thought that it was, especially with law and crime, you know, the criminal justice system being out in front of that issue and getting to a point of being as efficient as possible. And that way, if there is a boom in crime, you know, you have a very efficient system. A lot of times you don't even miss a beat. You're on top of it, you know, and you can suppress it a lot easier. Your thoughts?
Well, you're an expert on that, and that's reality. I mean, we all want to stay ahead. And one of the things we hear is about the docket, the court docket, how many cases they are behind on. And our district attorney, Colin Sims, we want to help him because we want our system to be maintained. He and I did have a conversation, and under the circumstances of their reduced funding, they're doing very well. So I hope that you have a chance to talk with him soon, because as I just said, I don't believe all the talk on the streets. There's just too much misinformation out there. But we really need to come up with a solution to fund the DA, the jail, and the judges. Our assessor, people think, well, we're the largest, highest taxed parish in the state. Not sure that's true. But our assessor, Lewis Fitzmaurice, came to speak to our public policy group last week. And our total property tax revenue in 2024 was $407 million. And 60% of that comes from residential property taxes, homeowners. In the business community, we believe that tax burden could shift more equitably to the commercial side if more commercial development were welcomed in our parish. Just this morning, there's a new community meeting held once a month in Slidell, and our Director of Economic Development, Chris Massengill, spoke. He was recruited away to Central Louisiana, but we've really had some good prospects and good opportunities. And if we can just continue to bring in some more business, we'll shift that tax burden away from homeowners to business. We've called it 80-20, 80% paid by homeowners, 20% paid by businesses. But according to our assessor, that is already shifting. So that's good news. The big picture is, if we're collecting $407 million, where is that going? And the percentages is what is being talked about now. And I think those conversations are going to increase. We're looking forward to collaborating and bringing the different departments together with business people to look for some solutions. You know, $407 million goes to, of course, our schools, our fire districts, mosquito control, roads, drainage, water and sewer. But when it comes time to vote yes for safety, a tax dedicated to safety, we just keep getting no. And yeah. I personally believe part of the reason is a lack of understanding. Okay, where does this $407 million go?
It could be, and that's just one piece of the infrastructure that's out there. But when you think about all of the other things, do we have a disconnect here as to what's happening? I mean, I think there's a certain sector of the population there that has this belief that they want to hold on to the status quo, right? But as things begin to cost more, so if cement goes up, labor goes up, this goes up, and you're having to improve on roads and all of these services because of whether, you know, it's inflation, the consumer price index is going up, whatever, costs more. Status quo isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to keep up with the maintenance of the infrastructure that you have now, which is woefully underserving the population as it exists today. So the real choices are, do I grow or do I intentionally shrink? You know, because staying where you are right now, you're kind of in a pickle, right?
We are in a pickle. And if I may, I didn't check on this, but there was a great article recently by Faymon Roberts with NOLA.com, and it really explains the pickle. In my role, I communicate, you know, with writing and verbally and presentations, and I had on my mind, I need to compose an article, an editorial explaining our view of how we got where we are. And the first thing we mentioned this morning was the 20th anniversary of Katrina. We are not what we used to be as a parish. We are not what we are going to be as a parish or a region. Things are more expensive. There are political elections where our elected leaders change. And then there are, some seats remain the same. So we have no choice. We have to change with the times, and we have to collaborate and bring our elected leaders together with our business leaders and the various departments to come up with solutions.
Now, you guys have some elections coming up in October, right?
Yes, we have a big election in the city of Slidell. There's a mayor's race on October 11th. Former Mayor Greg Cromer stepped down when Governor Landry asked him to take over a position in the Department of Transportation. So we were happy to have a St. Tammany leader in that department. And Slidell Council Chairman Bill Borchert stepped into the interim mayor's seat. And he's running along with Police Chief Randy Fandle. So we hosted the first forum for that election Wednesday evening. And we were very encouraged because there was over 300 people in attendance. We had 225 chairs set up. We said, oh, this will be fine, 225. Standing room only. And we are very fortunate that we're able to live stream it on our Facebook page. It's still up there, and we will be putting it on our YouTube channel. The election's pretty far away. You know, October 11th is down the road, so I think there will be a lot of talk about this election. It got a lot of coverage, and again, this morning at this community meeting, there's a lot of enthusiasm in the city of Slidell and, frankly, in our parish, again, regarding economic development, that we are in a prime location for future development relative to the port. We have a new business that located here, Agile Cold Storage. That is a wave of the future. They're going to be sending things across the globe after being stored here from the port. And our Amazon center in Slidell, it was built, I don't know exactly the year, but it sat there for a little while, but it's opening and it's hiring. So things are starting to really pick up, especially in the city of Slidell.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you guys have a charter commission that's been meeting, and will they be making a proposal soon? And are there thoughts to amend the charter?
Yes. The commission, there are five or six parish councilmen actually appointed to the commission. And our former parish president, Kevin Davis, is the chairman. We do have a business rep on the commission, and the meetings have not been well attended. So you and I are talking about voter turnout, citizen input, and they really want input. But people don't get out of their house in large numbers to go to a meeting at 6 p.m. in the evening. So we're going to rally the troops. The commission is rallying people to a special meeting on August 14th. So there's going to be some community meetings, small group meetings between now and then with solid recommendations. And the hot topic is the size of our parish council. It has been 14 council districts since the beginning, since it was a police jury. The Home Rule Charter changed to a parish president council form of government versus police jury. But now the talk is we have 14 councilmen. Is that too many or is it not? And you know, we're looking at Jefferson.
I've watched those meetings. It's just way too many people. That's not an attack on anybody. That's not an attack on anybody there. It's just it's too many. I mean, it just is.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're, you know, again, it's about change and accepting change. And we are not the St. Tammany that we were 30, 20, 10, or even 5 years ago. So get ready because the change is not stopping. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that next
interesting.
Time.
And it'll be interesting to see what the Home Rule Charter Commission does, too. Those are always very controversial for a whole host of reasons, and legitimately so. But I think it's always good to have a look-see at the charter and try to figure out how things have changed, how things operationally and functionally don't make as much sense today as maybe it once did, especially when you have a parish as vibrant as St. Tammany that's growing at the clip that y'all are growing. Obviously that's a good thing, but good things happen and tough decisions need to be made, right?
Right. It's not easy, but we'll get through it. We'll get to the next
absolutely
stage.
Well, Lacey, thank you for joining us today. We always appreciate your time, your insight. Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Hope to see you soon and have a great weekend.
You too. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. We got some time to go to the talk lines. Would love to hear from you about any of the issues that we have been talking about. So stay with us. We'll be right
back. Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Welcome back, folks. Let's go to the talk line. James, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think you're going to be happy with me. I got three issues with you today.
The first one is,
everything you say about what you said about this Stephen Colbert issue is absolutely correct. No but. The only problem I have with it is our president just after this happened, tweets too damn much, and he injected himself into this, and he said, related to this incident, Jimmy Kimmel's next. So that's all I care about that issue. He could have been left out of it. He put himself in it. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to try to make this better. I couldn't have your job. You have a very difficult job. You do it very well. But today I want to talk about the mistakes. Yesterday, I'm talking about my councilman, my state senator, when you're talking to Mr. Connick about funds being reestablished from when my councilman took them away. When you talked about the chronology of Mr. Edwards retiring, you got it wrong. Councilman Edwards retired first. He didn't allot the money first. He retired first. His retirement was to take place January the 1st. Well, about 5 days or maybe 3 days before his retirement, he took discretionary funds and allotted them to not the stepchild of Justin Parrish, but Gretna, and I think approximately two-thirds of that money, and some of which was supposed to be for hurricane recovery, at the very end of his retirement. So that was a minor mistake, but every once in a while, we make those. And finally, I want to talk about nomenclature. When you talk about Sheriff Hudson, you often say at the beginning of your correct criticism, and you're correct with 90% of what you say about her, and you're absolutely correct about what I'm about to say, you say she gets the nomenclature of the people who she has custody of as residents. That's inappropriate. It's not accurate, even though they do live there for long term. But these people have restricted access to almost everything they have, so they probably should be called inmates. So with that said, Republicans and conservatives lately have been going around talking about return on investment when they're talking about taxes. Taxes are not an investment. Investments are voluntary. Taxes and fees are not. They are a duty, they are a responsibility, and an obligation. And if you don't pay them, there's a consequence. That's not an investment. The only consequence with the investment, whether you lose or win. So can't be a return on it. It can be used efficiently. And most people, not all people want sidewalks. Not all people want smooth streets. So they don't want their taxes to go to that, even though I wish they would. But to me, one of the greatest returns on investments can't be quantified. When my tax dollars fill the hungry stomach of a child before he goes to school because we fed him breakfast and we can see the strength coming in his eyes and the gratitude, you can't quantify that. But I'm glad my tax dollars pay for those type of things. So thank you for letting me get up on my porch and yell. But that's my feeling about some of the things. And I do appreciate you. I just don't agree with you a lot.
Well, let me, James, on the taxes thing, I think the return on the investment that we're looking at is the manner in which we spend the money, right? And the spend goes deeper than just the topic. So you talk about feeding kids that don't get a hot meal, for example.
That's not what I said. Nomenclature. Not
right.
Where it goes. There is no such thing as a real return on taxes. There's no return on investment.
But what I'm saying is you misunderstand what I'm saying. It's the spend.
Okay.
And the spend comes from tax dollars. So the manner in which we spend. So if we spend in a category of feeding kids less privileged and it's an identified need, the return that we're looking for is that we do it efficiently.
Amen.
and that we don't waste dollars, and we invest in organizations that do it efficiently, that are real.
You're agreeing. We're agreeing. I just don't want to hear return on investments. I want to hear effective use of my tax dollars. I'm just talking about
the either way. I think it's one and the same.
I'm tired of hearing that phrase. That's just me. And last but not least, before I get off, I want to make sure everybody remembers this day, July 25th, 1972. AP released a story that nobody believed at the time. They released what was happening with the Tuskegee experiment. Think about what would happen if that was today. You hear fake news.
Yeah.
But it was true. So we do need our news outlets not to come from 1,500 sources that have not been verified and some do with a damn podcast.
I don't disagree.
Thank you, sir. And so thanks for letting me. I love listening to you, but every once in a while I'm going to call and fuss, and I wish I didn't have to fuss so much. Thank you, Newell.
It's quite all right. Thank you, James. Appreciate the time. You know, as it relates to the president tweeting about Jimmy Kimmel, I just kind of chuckled when James said that. It would not be my style of governance. I don't really like that style. But, you know, so many people in the media are really, you know, kind of messing with him. And typically it's interesting about the media when they put something out there that's not right. It's never favorable to the political candidate. It's always, you know, bad. I had unfortunately been the beneficiary of it, and I called the media out many, many times. It's like you never make a mistake to my benefit. Every time you make a mistake, it's to my detriment. And so I understand sometimes exactly where Donald Trump's coming from. You know, where stories are said. In fact, we just had an example of a news source that reported on something about Sheriff Susan Hudson the other day, and it was completely wrong. How many times has there been a mistake about Susan Hudson being reported by the media that made her look good? Well, I could tell you right now, never. So, and I think that's part of the yin and the yang of this issue and the rub, and why some folks, you know, like to needle them when they get a chance to needle them. What's also interesting is, you know, this whole thing with South Park, the purchase of South Park by CBS, Paramount, and whoever else is part of that conglomerate. They're attacking Trump now. I'm getting texts, you know, saying, well, I guess Trump's going to send, you know, just kidding, all right? Trump's going to send ICE to South Park. I hope he's not able to find it. this is fun. I love that, right? I love the ingenuity of making kind of, you know, fun of everybody. There's a lot of other things to make fun of. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether or not people have an interest in doing that. It can't be that we're all in for the win relative to our ideology. And I think that's where we've misstepped here. And we're not willing to say when we're wrong. We'll be right back. We got Jimmy up and we'll check in with him when we return.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Let's go back to the talk lines. Jimmy, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell, great show. Yeah, interesting about the, you know, population changes for St. Tammany and Orleans. You know, and you're kind of seeing that now in Plaquemines Parish, too. You know, although the diversion project, the one that was planned in Plaquemines, from what I understand, it's on hold or stop for now, according to the governor. I mean, it's not over yet. They've started it and then they stopped it. So I'm sure it's still going to go back and forth on this. And if it will build land or will it kill? Yeah, it's dead for now. I mean, again, it's hard to say if this situation will resurface again, because they've already pumped so much money into it no pun intended. You know, one side thinks it's going to kill seafood. The other side thinks it's going to build land. But like you said, as of now, it's dead. I wanted to get your take on the regarding Plaquemines Parish, the Belchase Bridge. You know, it's a toll that was implemented. And, you know, if you go across it and you don't, you're not a Plaquemines Parish resident, say you drive to Belchase, and, you know, you're looking at $2, I think over $2.50 each way. Depending on how, if you have a boat you're bringing down to Venice, it's like $5, $6, $7, depending on what you're pulling. And it, like the red light cameras from years ago, we saw through Jefferson Parish in Orleans, that was based out in Arizona. I think this company that's, you know, taking all the photos on the bridge is based out of state too. It's like the politicians kind of sold the locals out. The problem is, if you're a local resident, well, the good news is if you're local, yeah, you can get a discount. But the bad news is for the businesses, Newell, people aren't driving down to those restaurants in Belchase and further down and, you know, taking it all in because they're figuring, you know what, I'm going to have to pay so much in tolls because I'm not a resident. It's not really worth it. So I want to get your take on that bridge and the tolls and what you heard about that. And of course, the end of the diversion project as it stands now.
You know, there's a fine line as to whether or not a economic region, micro region, can afford some of the infrastructure on their own, and whether or not, you know, the state has the assets necessary to finance the building of new bridges. I think you're going to continue to see this private-public collaboratives as it relates to roadways and bridges. They're very popular in other areas of the country. Typically, they have a lot of ingress and egress to it, some expedited travel lanes and stuff, and for the most part, not just a bridge. You know, I don't think there would be any argument if there were multiple ways to get to this bridge where you could avoid some of the traffic that's down there as Plaquemines is experiencing its growth. It's all about planning, quite frankly. And then they had a whole host of other issues down there as it relates to the construction of that bridge. And then what is the price that makes sense economically for this? And what is the price that makes sense for the community to be able to afford it? And I think that's the biggest issue, Jimmy, that you bring forward. I don't know whether or not there were any studies done relative to that. Anytime you got to pay for the only ingress and egress into an area, you're going to have reduced numbers of people coming from outside of the parish to go and enjoy the restaurants or a lot of other things that go on down there. And that's just the byproduct from it. I don't really have an answer. Was the bridge necessary? Maybe. I don't know. I don't really recall how bad the other bridge was. But you're going to continue to see these challenges because local government and the state of Louisiana is poor. And we've done an abysmal job of keeping up with infrastructure in this state, not unlike other states. And trying to catch up is almost impossible. The vast majority of the bridges are a C or D rating from an engineering perspective in this state. They require a lot of maintenance. We haven't been providing it. And it's going to be interesting, you know, once all of this starts to catch up with us. And it's just another challenge of the financing of government. We can't afford to waste dollars. Going back to the conversation I had with James, it's why I focus on, he doesn't like the use of the word, the return on our investment. What does it mean? It's the only way that we can adequately assess as members of the public as to whether or not our leaders are doing the right thing on the spend. There's not enough. So we got to spend, and we got to spend in a smart way, not in, you know, this haphazard way. And that, you know, the spend I like is that are going to create new sales tax dollars or otherwise, and new opportunities. Will they all be a win? No. I mean, that's not realistic. But you make a calculated investment on something, and, you know, hopefully the it'll pay off with the generation of additional tax dollars. Thank you, Jimmy, for the call. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a general talk about the price of tires lately. Mm-hmm. Have you bought any tires recently?
I have.
I mean, actually. I know it sounds crazy, but I just bought 4 tires from Firestone. I mean, they were maybe more than the average price tire, but it was $1,500.
Yep.
And then after you took the $180 rebate and then they charge you for these sensors or whatever that I didn't even know they had, you know, tire pressure sensors. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
You know, then the price of the tire came down to $1,200. I mean, we want to know why, you know, a bridge costs a lot of money. I mean, 4 tires, 4 basic tires, I mean, pretty much basic tires for $1,200.
Yep.
Something.
And then you got hit. Did you get hit with the disposal fee?
Oh yeah, there's a. It goes on to page 2 of all the add-on costs.
Right.
You know. It's just
I think it was all the fees were like about maybe $10 a tire or something like that. So that added another $40 to it.
Yeah,
and that's not the tire store. That's the government, you know, imposing these fees.
Really? I mean, I thought they would take those tires and put them out in the marsh and fill them full of concrete and build the barrier reefs up with them or something. And
those fees don't go to the tire store. I think that's paid to government.
I know. It's just, you know, I honestly don't know how people that don't make a decent salary can live anymore.
I used to say that about my parents all the time. I said, you guys are masters of the fishes and loaves routine.
It is. Of course, I do remember when I was young, I used to go to the used tire lot sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I remember buying, what were they called, Glastron, fiberglass tread or
the
whatever.
Retreads?
Yeah. Over on Jeff Highway.
I used to go there. Absolutely, yeah. The only problem was I was driving down the Grand Isle one day with them, and the retread started flopping off of its own.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't the greatest tire in the world.
No. Got a text here that says, ordered my tires online, much cheaper. I don't know.
I can't.
Then you got to get somebody to put them on, though. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you bring your tires to a tire shop and they'll look at you like you're crazy. You know, they want that markup.
No, well, they're in it for a profit. I get it. I mean, it's just the cost of the good itself and the manufacturer itself is what's contributing to this for sure. Thank you so much for the call. I agree. I just bought 4 tires for a trailer. Were not that expensive, but it was about half of what you paid for the car tires. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the news break, we're going to visit with Ira Melman. He is the media director at the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and we're going to talk about remittances. And remittances are dollars that are sent back to the origin country of the immigrants that come to this country. And we'll talk about what the economic impact of that is to this country and what that actually means. And it's not a criticism of the practice of what they're doing, but there is an impact to us. There is an expectation that we have of individuals making money here. So we'll spend some time talking about that. And then at 12:30, we'll go back to the talk lines and we'll talk more about, love to hear from folks about Stephen Colbert. I mean, the conspiracy theory just runs rampant on the text line that all of this is connected as it relates to Stephen Colbert. But yet, no one's talking about the fact that South Park is going after President Trump as well, which is the purchase that they made, the same company that got rid of Colbert. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Morgan Abshire.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.